Abdullah Anas is an Algerian politician in exile and former member of the Mujahideen, who fought alongside bin Laden before falling out with the Al-Qaeda leader over his plans for global jihad. He lives in London, having gained political asylum, and has also written a book called To the Mountains, My Life in Jihad, From Algeria to Afghanistan. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from London. Abdullah Anas, Abdullah, good morning to you.
Good morning to you and your audience.
Good to have you with us. Before we start, because I think one of the main things that we need to explain with this interview is your interpretation of jihad, because jihad is so many different things. It seems to be a word that has been misunderstood by many, especially in the West.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Really, as you mentioned, the word jihad, the people got confused these days through the academia, journalists, normal people, ordinary people, imams, Muslims, non-Muslims. Really, the word jihad, it's getting more difficult to be understood in the right context. So that's why one of the things pushed me to write my book, My Life in Jihad, From Algeria to Afghanistan, maybe to participate in explaining the right context. I'm sure I'm not going to explain it 100% because it still will need more debates, more discussions, but at least I decided to take responsibility from my side, because as a Muslim, also as an imam, also I am giving speeches on Friday mosques in London and everywhere, so I'm aware about the word jihadist from the Muslim perspectives, and also I practice it for nearly for 10 years during the Soviet war. So I found myself, maybe I could add something to explain this the word jihad, especially today in the West, in many writers, I don't say many, but some writers or some experts putting the word jihad in the same list of the crimes or terrorism, or putting it in a negative way, something negative, it's not positive, whereas the security must react against the jihad or jihadists to stop it. And at the same time, in Muslim world, also the word jihad, especially after the experience of these terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, Daesh, and their sisters in Muslim world, in the West, also they are committing clear crimes by hijacking aeroplanes, kidnapping tourists, bombing public places. Completely, I cannot call it except crimes, clear crimes. But unfortunately, they are calling it jihad. So that's why the word jihad now needs to be explained what it meant. I practiced the jihad with my father-in-law, Sheikh Abdullah Azam, and especially with the Afghan legend, Ahmad Shah Mas'ud. I spent with him years in his battle against Soviets. So this, I can say the jihad, jihad is a part of the faith of Muslims. There is nothing in Islam, when you say a mujahid, or you say someone is praying, someone is fasting, so the first explanation of jihad, it's a faith. It's a faith to make Allah happy. For a mujahid, normally he's following the principles of Quran, principles of Islam. So the jihad, by this meaning, did not start with Al-Qaeda or started just with the nowadays groups. The jihad exists in the faith of Muslims for the last 1400 years. So it's Omar al-Mukhtar fought against to liberate Libya from Italians, Amir Abd al-Qadir in Algeria against French colonialism. So jihad did not start just in the nowadays, but unfortunately, I don't know what is going on because of the word jihad is getting confusing people. Jihad is never was a crime or to harm people. Jihad is completely, we call it jihad. And in the West, they call it just war, or for a mujahid is the freedom fighters. I can say General de Gaulle, for example, in after France was occupied by Hitler, he came to London and became refugee, calling for jihad. Yani didn't call jihad by our language, but he's calling for the freedom of France. At the same time, on 1941 was bombed when London was attacked by the aeroplanes.
Yes,
and then Churchill calling British people to stand up. That you call it, just war, freedom fighters. In Islam, they call it jihad. It's a matter of words. So the meaning inside. To liberate your land from the occupiers, to defend your rights. So this is the meaning. But unfortunately, sometimes this, especially this nowadays groups, Al-Qaeda and its sisters, they got it out completely of the context. They changed it to complete crimes. So this is one of maybe your program is not enough to go deeper and step it, but I mentioned all these things in my book, how I practiced jihad in Afghanistan during the last during my 10 years in Afghanistan against Soviets.
So you were living in Algeria, you were an imam in Algeria, and were you decided to help the Mujahideen in their jihad against the Soviets. You were called, you felt yourself called to take place in the jihad in Afghanistan.
Yes, I remember in 1983 when I come across with a fatwa. The fatwa, I don't know how to say it in English, in an order in Islam, we call it fatwa, where that fatwa was signed by a group of Muslim scholars through all over the world, the Muslim world, saying Afghanistan was occupied by Soviet Red Army. And the Afghans are fighting to liberate their lands from Soviets, but they need the help of their brothers. So I found that fatwa signed by this group of scholars. I was in my city in the west of Algeria, Sidi Bel Abbas, and then I decided to go. I made my decision in that moment. But you know, I had 100 questions in my mind. So if I go to Afghanistan, where is this Afghanistan? You are here. Don't forget, I am from North Africa, thinking about the Central Asia. This is, where is this Afghanistan? Which airlines goes there? From where to get the visa? Which language they speak? So, you know, 100 questions in my mind. But because Allah will be happy for this jihad, Allah will facilitate. After three months after this hard decision, I found myself face to face with, later on, my father-in-law, Sheikh Abdullah Azam. I found myself face to face with him in Mecca, because I decided to go the Hajj for pilgrimage in that year.
Yeah.
And then I asked him, are you Sheikh Abdullah Azam? He said, yes, I'm Sheikh Abdullah Azam. I saw your signature in the fatwa that Afghanistan, the jihad in Afghanistan is an obligation. Is that true? He said, yeah, it's true. So for someone like me, and a young Algerian wants to come to join the caravan, to go to Afghanistan, what's the next step? What can I do? And he said, it's very simple. I am a teacher in the International Islamic University in Pakistan. And then this is my business card. if you come to Pakistan, just call me to Islamabad. Call me. Inshallah, you are my guest for 2-3 days. And then I will introduce you to the Mujahideen in Peshawar. So I did after 2-3 weeks. And this is my journey, started from that time till 93.
And what was your first impression of your brothers in the Mujahideen when you first met them and you first traveled into Afghanistan? It must have been exciting, but at the same time frightening, terrifying. Or did you consider that you were fighting a holy cause?
In that time, really, as you said, it was exciting because, you know, the name of the Mujahideen during the beginning of 80s after the Soviet occupation to Afghanistan, the jihad of Afghanistan was nearly in the Muslim world, even in the Western world, the jihad of Afghanistan was nearly the first issue in the public opinion. If you remember, it comes to the Cold War and even the Mujahideen, the Afghans Mujahideen, they used to have representatives in Paris, in London, in Washington, D.C., in the West. And they met the President of United States, Reagan, in that time. They met Thatcher. They met François Mitterrand. So the world, even in the Gulf Peninsula, Saudi was backing this jihad, Gulf states. And in Muslim world also, the word Afghanistan and jihad of Afghanistan mostly was, what I'm trying to say, it was there between the families and the universities, in the mosques, in the Muslim world. So the word Mujahid and jihad of Afghanistan was making the minds of people too busy in that time. So during this, you find yourself, you are not only following the jihad from your house through the radio or no, but you are part of it now. You are in the caravan. You are in the mountains. So it excited me. Yeah.
And it must have been, it was a brutal war. It was a guerrilla war, and the Soviet army were beaten because Afghanistan is a country of mountains. It must have been a hard experience as well.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Unfortunately, Afghanistan. This is one of the lessons I learned later on after we entered Kabul and we gained the victory after the collapse of the communist regime. I myself have some many pictures inside the palace in Kabul. So one of the lessons I got, I learned is for Muslims, they can fight their enemy. They can liberate their lands. They have the ability to be shaheed, martyrs, to be immigrants, refugees. So they are ready to sacrifice for the cause. But unfortunately, I don't know what is going on. This is needs a deeper debate. We are not able, after the liberation, to establish what we wanted. And this is what happened in Kabul after 1992. There is no Soviet there, no communists. Why? The stability is not there. The Afghans didn't find the state they fought for. Where is the sharing power, democracy, human rights? I don't know what happened. Maybe it's turned to a civil war. And I thought, and maybe I used to think, maybe this is the only Afghans, maybe they don't have experience for democracy or freedoms. No, later on I found this experience was repeated in Yemen, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria now. So this is a big question. Maybe I need to, not only me, all the thinkers or the researchers need to find the answer. Muslims are not weak to defend their rights. But I think they are not still not able to make their dream taking place. So you see, after Afghanistan, after 1992, Afghanistan never saw the stability. 1992, the Mujahideen fought against each other. Hikmatyar led that battle against Kabul, and that led to Taliban 1996 entering Kabul, and Taliban allowing Al-Qaeda to be active from Afghanistan. And you see what they did in 9/11 in New York, and then bringing the NATO to Afghanistan, and now negotiations, it's started. So if you see Afghanistan for the last 35, 40 years, they didn't have any chance to be relaxed, to think how to build the society. And then this is not only taking place in Afghanistan, also taking place after the Arab Spring in the Arab world, from Yemen to Iraq to Syria to. So this is, it's a big as I said it in once, I found the jihad by the fighting jihad very more simple than the jihad of building the society, bringing stability, making the society happy. So this is the most, this jihad more complicated than the first jihad, the jihad of Kalashnikov.
And do you think perhaps that it was the more extreme voices like bin Laden who spoke over your more moderate voice, and this is why you had to eventually, you fell out with the leadership and had to come to London?
You remind me for Osama. The first time I met Osama in 1984 in the house of Abdullah Azam in Islamabad. Osama, the first time, the impression I took from this humble man, well-mannered man. Osama, it's not someone. Here when I talk about the private personal of Osama, the personality of Osama, not the ideas of Osama later on. So this man was one of the founders of the Services Bureau under the leadership of Sheikh Abdullah Azam. We worked together. If you have heard about the Services Bureau, we call it in Arabic Maktab al-Khadamat, the organization used to facilitate between non-Afghans Muslims coming to fight in Afghanistan. All they used to pass through the umbrella of Services Bureau. The head of the Services Bureau was Sheikh Abdullah Azam. So Osama bin Laden was one of the founders. We all found that Services Bureau. He was working under the leadership of Sheikh Abdullah Azam. I don't know what happened to him till late 88. He come across with this group called Egyptian Jihadi group under leadership of Ayman Zawahiri and someone called Sayyid Imam. And then they had completely strange ideas, believing in this global fight, global jihad. So this ideas was not clear where to lead. And then Sheikh Abdullah Azam tried to tell Osama, you are risking, no one knows which direction you are getting for yourself. Where are you going to be finished in the future? So this is, thinking about these ways. We came here to Afghanistan just to liberate, to help our brothers in Afghanistan to liberate their land. And if Afghanistan is liberated, so jihad is finished. Go home and or stay in Afghanistan to help the Afghans to stable their country for reconstruction or for health, for education. But this idea of forming groups, 4 or 5 from Nigeria, 4 or 5 from Europe, 4 or 5 from the Arab world, and calling them under your organization, Al-Qaeda. So this must be a dangerous agenda, dangerous goal. Where you are going? How you are going to control all these people through the world that you are opening this organization for the intelligence, for the takfiris, for terrorism, for takfir, for extremists, for drug dealers? You are not going to control it. But I don't know what happened to him. He decided, because he got his own money, he decided to continue like that. And then you see what the hell this organization called Al-Qaeda is opening to the world.
Why did you decide now to write the book, My Life in Jihad from Algeria to Afghanistan to the Mountains?
Read the full answer in my book. I don't like to lose a buyer.
Okay, fine, super. You're going to be talking in London, I believe, later on this month at the Frontline Club in London.
Yes, the Frontline Club. They are organizing for this book a panel, so I'm going to be there. Yeah.
If people want to find out some more, because we're going to run out of time, unfortunately, we could talk for an awful lot longer. If people want to find out more information about you or about the book, is there a website? Can they find you on social media? How can they get in touch with you, please?
Yes. For now, I have an organization called At-Ta'aruf, and T-R-U-F, Ta'aruf, but it's not active now. But at least for my telephone number, it's 0777-166-0835. If maybe for any questions or any.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you. The book is called To the Mountains. It's by Abdullah Anna. We could have spoken for much longer, but I'm going to run out of time. Abdullah Anna, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you.